Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Empowering Dietitians podcast, where each week I dive into a specific topic to help you feel more confident and connected to your work as a dietitian. This week, I'm chatting with Courtney Johnson, a fellow dietitian and current client in my Empowering Dietitians one-on-one supervision program. Courtney has grown so much in the last 9 months or so of working together, from building her knowledge and confidence in intuitive eating, to launching a private practice, to working on her own perfectionism and self-doubt. I'm so excited to share her experience with you today. Hey, welcome, Courtney.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
It's so nice to have you here. I love that I'm starting to bring on my clients and that I get to chat with you and share you with everyone. So thank you for agreeing to come on with this. So why don't we start off by you telling everyone listening a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, so my name is Courtney. I am from Minnesota and I'm a dietitian, of course. I'm currently working in clinical, but just started last spring my private practice and entrepreneurship journey. And Jess has played a huge part in that. And what else? In my free time, I love to read. What else? I'm a twin. So yeah, just a couple of fun facts about me. Yeah. Yeah. And then I actually got into dietetics because I have diabetes. So that played a big role, like growing up with nutrition and everything, and decided to go the dietetics route, even though I decided to switch my path from being a CDE to an intuitive eating dietitian.
Yep, absolutely. I can relate to that too. I started off thinking that I was going to become a CDE because my grandfather actually had diabetes, and I was on this mission to like help everyone with diabetes in a way that I guess I like couldn't with him. So, and then wound up switching over completely to the intuitive eating. And I think that it's important to have people in that space that have experience with both, because as we know, diabetes management, but not that that's your specialty with your private practice, but diabetes management is rife with a diet culture and diet.
Yes.
Excellent.
Definitely. So,
I love that. And I've loved seeing your journey. I'd love it if you could tell everyone a little bit about kind of where you were. It's been almost a year since you started working through the supervision with me. So kind of where were you last year when you first started in the supervision program?
Yeah. So going back, I think like almost 2 years, I had like a hobby Instagram page just where I like talked about nutrition myths and just gave general nutrition info. But in that time, I followed a lot of intuitive eating dietitians because I had the mindset of like not really liking dieting, but I was also like everything in moderation. And like, I didn't know it, but I was still like in diet culture, but like didn't like explicit like Weight Watchers or anything like that. You know, I wasn't into that. So it was like at the back of my mind, intuitive eating, but I like wasn't ready to take the plunge yet and learn about it. And then I was offered a weight loss drug because I had gained weight, like, I don't know, last spring, I think. And I decided to like jump into intuitive eating that day. Cause I was like, I absolutely am not going to take a weight loss medication. So I was like, regardless of what happens to my body, I need to start learning about intuitive eating. So I bought the workbook and the book. And I like read the book and fell in love with it. And at the same time was also like starting to think about like a private practice and what I wanted to focus on. And since I fell in love with intuitive eating, I was like, okay, like this is what I need to focus on, but I have no idea how to counsel on it. I don't even know if I'm like doing it right, quote unquote, right. Yeah. And I had talked to you a couple times, and then like, I don't know, one day I actually like really read your caption and I was like, oh, she's an intuitive eating dietitian who like helps other dietitians. So I reached out to you and that's like where it started.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And I really appreciate you sharing that, especially with your own personal journey with intuitive eating, because
We all have that, right? We didn't learn about it. So we pretty much all come from a more weight-centric background. Mm-hmm. And we have those moments. We have those pivotal moments that kind of the light bulb goes off and says, wait a second, this isn't right for me. And we mm-hmm. start to feel that cognitive dissonance of, you know, where I'm going is not maybe where I want to be going still. Mm-hmm. And so you kind of noticed that you wanted to shift, but you didn't necessarily feel super confident. So what were your preconceived notions about what supervision was going to be like?
I don't even know if I really knew. Like, I figured that you would like teach me about intuitive eating and like give me like step-by-step, like not rules, but like, here's what you do. Like very, mm-hmm. very like set in stone, like steps to like helping someone with intuitive eating. And I didn't know as much about intuitive eating at that time. So I don't think that I realized like all the nuances of it and like how it's, you know, obviously I knew every person is different, but like really taking each person's background and story into account and how you can't just go from A to Z. You can't tackle the principles and, you know, in the same order with everyone, you know, everyone takes longer on different principles. So yeah, I think I expected it to be more like, you know, black and white, I guess. Yeah. And it's a lot more gray. And so like learning about the nuances of intuitive eating and how to navigate those with clients is what really happened. But I was not expecting that going into it.
Yeah, it's tough because whether it's because we're more of the type A perfectionist personality that likes black and white, clear cut, let me put it in little boxes and then I can check off when I've achieved it. Or it's because of the nature of how we're taught about health. You know, we're taught about health in a very black and white way that we aren't used to that nuance. And I think we also get these sound bites from social media of like, this is what intuitive eating looks like. And we lose that nuance because there's only so much you can convey in a little square box and a short caption, right?
Yeah, yep.
So what were some of that you thought about intuitive eating before you started working? I know you kind of said you thought that you had to go through the principles in order. That was one thing. Were there other things that you kind of thought about it or weren't sure about it when you started?
I remember like still like wondering, you know, I think like so many other people, can I, like I had read somewhere that someone like didn't have birthday cake because she didn't want it because that was intuitive eating. Like it didn't sound good to her. I remember being like, really, is that like, you really would just skip cake? Like there's no diet mentality behind that there. It's just like listening to your body's cues. And so like doubting or questioning if that was really true. Like if you could really listen to your body that much and know that you didn't want something like cake, you know? So I think just like wondering how strong our internal cues could be,
yep.
You know, and not really knowing, you know, how strong they are.
Absolutely.
And how
absolutely.
Much of a direction they can give us.
And it's tough too, because when we are so entrenched in diet mentality, and some of our clients are like this, they have themselves convinced that they don't want, for example, the birthday cake. And so it's almost like they're quote unquote listening to their bodies, but it's because they're so deeply in it that they've just convinced themselves and they're not actually listening to their true authentic intuition. And so learning how to parse out what is the influence of diet culture over the past few decades of your life versus what is genuinely, hey, you know what? I don't feel like having birthday cake today. That can be really tough. Is that something that you feel like you're better equipped now to handle with your clients?
Yeah, absolutely. I've, you know, found different questions to ask and, you know, based on what they tell me and stuff, it's easier to like determine if they're still stuck in diet culture, or if they're really leaning towards what they want, because I would argue that most people want birthday cake, you know? So yeah. It also makes me question, like, if they say they don't want something, if they don't like something, you know, what the reasoning is behind it, if it's true, or if it's just like you said, that they've convinced themselves that they don't want or like that food.
Yep, absolutely. And it takes practice. It takes actually doing it to be able to understand and like really listen to the client and hear what they're saying and then hear what maybe they're not even fully conscious of. So it takes a lot of practice. And that's also why it's helpful to kind of talk these things out as well.
Yeah.
So you came in and one of your goals was really to become more confident with intuitive eating. Did you have any other goals in starting supervision?
I think my biggest goals were like becoming more comfortable at intuitive eating myself and like implementing it correctly in quotes into my life. And then being able to like help my clients through that journey.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. And so what are your thoughts on supervision now? Now that you're on, I think like your third cycle with me and you are now working with clients in your private practice. So you have them coming in and you've had some time to really work through some of these things. What are your thoughts on the process of supervision at this point?
I think it's like a vital part of my business journey because, you know, I'm still learning, even though I know a lot and I have grown a lot in my journey and practicing intuitive eating myself and getting better at counseling people on it. There are still things that throw me off and that I still go to you for, like, hey, what would you do for this? Or a client said this. And so I think to like make myself the best counselor and dietitian I can be, then that means going to someone who's even further ahead in their journey than me.
Absolutely.
And I love having someone to go to where I don't feel like I have to figure it all out on my own. You know, it's like I can text Jess if I have a question because she'll give me some good insight, you know? Yeah. So it's not like I'm navigating it all myself, which is huge.
Yeah, especially when you're on this intuitive eating journey. And there are more dietitians that are intuitive eating now than there were a few years back, and certainly, you know, 10 plus years back. But it still can feel, especially if you're in private practice, that you are kind of on an island by yourself and that you are making judgment calls on your own. So that's always something that I wish we had more of, this like supervision piece. It's super common in counseling and mental health like practices. You have a supervisor and they help you with challenging things, especially if you're new at something. And I would love, like, my big goal is to make this a part of dietetics practice too, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To normalize it. And was there anything that you got from working together that you hadn't necessarily been expecting?
Some of the activities that we did, I wasn't expecting. Like, I know you do the horoscope stuff and just some of the other worksheets and like files that you've given me, I wasn't expecting, but like they fit in, you know, somehow. And I think that they were valuable. It's just not something that I would have thought of, again, because of the black and white and being like, how does a horoscope fit in with intuitive eating, you know?
So
some of those like maybe like non-traditional aspects that we talked about, but they all fit and I saw the value in them. It's just that I, you know, in my black and white thinking, was not expecting those.
No, dietitians certainly don't expect their coach to be like, let's look at your horoscope today. And can you tell me a little bit about that? Because that is probably like the biggest curveball that I have in my program is my intention setting practice with horoscopes, which I have talked about a bit on the podcast. So if you're a listener longer term, you've probably heard me reference them. But Courtney, from your perspective, what was the process like? What did it involve? What were all of the like doubts in your head that were like, Jess might be a little bit weird, anything like that?
So I had to learn, I think, my sun sign and my moon sign or one of the other.
Sun and rising sign.
Okay. Yeah. And I knew, I think it's the rising sun that everyone knows. I don't know. One of them, everyone knows. And the other one, I didn't know. And then I learned about that. And then I was like, oh yeah, that like makes sense. That's me too. I like looked at the monthly horoscope, and then set an intention around that. And I've always been interested in horoscopes. Like I like to read them just for fun to like more of like, oh, did this happen? Or, you know, I'm going to see if this happens. So like, it wasn't totally out of the blue. Like I'd read them in magazines and all that stuff, but setting an intention around it, And like, honestly, I don't still do that. It just like, I didn't love it. So I don't keep doing it, but I mean, it was still good, like an awareness thing. You know, like just looking at a different way of how you can be intentional and maybe using a different tool than just like, again, I keep going back to the black and white, but really that's how I think of it. You know, instead of just thinking of everything in like black and white, using a different tool to, you know, set your intentions and your goals and just bringing awareness to different ways of thinking, because maybe that really resonates with someone and someone learns that they love it. So, I mean, again, I think exposing yourself to different tools and ways of doing things is really invaluable because it just makes us more aware.
Absolutely. And I really appreciate you specifically saying like, hey, that was cool, but it didn't work for me as something that I'm doing nonstop now. Like every month I don't sit down and set these intentions, because I think sometimes we think like, oh, this is part of the program. Like I have to do it to do well, or I have to do things the right way in order to see results. And there isn't one right way. So I have some dietitians that I work with that love it. I have some that kind of like you think it's cool and interesting and insightful, but it doesn't become a part of their lives. And I haven't had anyone who's like, no, this is like not working at all, but I might at some point, and that's okay too. So there's no such thing as a cookie cutter supervision program. Everything that I do with you is going to be different from what I do with a different client, because you have different goals, you're different human beings, and you're going to resonate with different things. So I thank you for that and not saying like, oh, it's great.
No, I feel totally comfortable being like completely honest with you. So that's another thing that's really nice, is that I'm like totally comfortable not wearing makeup on our calls. No, not hair isn't nice. Like right now I'm just in a sweatshirt. Like there's like no pressure to like be a certain way with you or look a certain way or anything. So it's really nice.
Yeah. Good. That's what I go for. I grappled with that when I first started. I was like, am I going to have to like show up in business attire on these calls? And I do try to not like, as the coach, I try to not, I don't know, wear my onesie or something like that. I'm a little bit elevated, but like, I want you to feel comfortable showing up. There's so much pretense. There's so much pressure to be a dietitian the quote unquote right way or the perfect way, but you have to have somewhere that you can show up authentically in your like messy self. So, so I like that you like that. I'm not about to show up in a suit anytime soon.
Yeah. Yes. It keeps it real.
And now you've had consistently more than one coach, right? Like you've worked with me, and then you've also worked with other coaches for different aspects of your goals. And I was hoping that you could talk a little bit about that decision and what it was like and how you actually made the hard decision of not only investing in one supervisor, coach, support person, but multiple at one time.
You know, it was obviously a bigger investment financially to invest in several coaches. I do live at home, so that was a huge help, because it's not like I have a mortgage and all these bills. So that was one aspect. Also, I was really big on doing it right from the beginning. So just realized that having coaches that specialize in different areas was huge. So having you with the intuitive eating, and then having another coach who helps with the affiliate and passive income, because that's another goal of mine, is to not always trade money for time. And then having a business coach who's able to help me get clients and do better on that front. Because I, you know, working, I don't know, I just think that I have like all these moving parts to my goals. And so having coaches who are able to help me with all those areas is huge. And so that was worth it to me to invest all that money, because I, you know, I, like I said, I wanted to do it right from the beginning. It would have been a waste of time had I just done it all on my own and not figured it out, and then wasted all these months doing it wrong, you know? So for me, it was just a way to start off on the right foot.
Absolutely. And certainly there are clients that I have where I am working with them on their business in the beginning. It's not my specialty. I'm not a business coach, but because I have experience from the Weight Inclusive lens and I have built a business up, I can at least get the groundwork going. Here are the things that you need to worry about. And then when you surpass the extent that I'm able to help with, then you can go out. But the downside of that is then we're not talking as much about supervision, right? We're not talking about intuitive eating. We're not talking as much about your mindset, though your limiting beliefs will come into play.
Yeah.
Hearing those things. And so it's been really nice. And I'll say from my perspective that I can focus more fully on the intuitive eating discussions with you, really helping you with the nuance of what you're covering with your clients and the things that your business coaches can't touch on as much.
Mm-hmm.
So it is nice if you can make that investment. Do you have any suggestions for someone who's like, I can't, I mean, that sounds great, but I just don't know how to make that work.
Yeah. I think joining like free Facebook groups and being on email lists, listening to podcasts, you can like learn a lot about marketing and just get some, you know, ideas at least, for getting information on starting a business and different tools to use, you know, different things like that. There are lots of, dietitians who are business coaches. So just Googling like, you know, coaches and a bunch will come up. A lot of them have podcasts. I'd say most have websites, you know, just doing your research and trying to get as much for free or, you know, or a smaller amount of money that you can than maybe investing in like one-on-one coaching.
Absolutely. And one of the things that you did was, you know, all of my clients start at pretty intense frequencies. You either meet with me every single week or every other week in the beginning. Mm-hmm. And I do that because we need that time to really lay a foundation. But after you did that, you dropped down. And so we now see each other once a month. And it's, you know, maybe not our ideal situation, but it does help you still get the support from me and also get support from other coaches in a more affordable way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So absolutely.
That's another thing is if you do something that is more of an intense investment and you do it for kind of one cycle to really dive in, there are options, of course, to then kind of pull back, still get the support a little bit, and then add on with someone new.
Yeah. And that's what I did with another coach too. I dropped down in frequency because I was ready and also to save some money. So
Absolutely. Yeah. So there are ways out there. It takes getting creative a little bit. And it also involves some scary investments. I know that my first year of business, I spent a lot of money on my business. I don't spend that much anymore. You kind of do in the beginning, and that's scary. And also logistically making it work is tough, but there are different tips and tricks that you can do to make it a little bit easier.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And also another thing that helped me, because I'm like cheap, it takes a lot for me to spend my money. But also looking at like the return on investment and knowing that in a business, I would make more money than in a traditional dietetics job. Looking at it in the long term, that helped too, being like, you know, I can turn around when I'm ready to start my business and charge this versus this, you know? Mm-hmm. And so that helped too, just being like, well, I know that I'll make my money back more quickly. You know, in my own business. So,
and can you talk a little bit about that too? Because that's an interesting piece of my supervision is that a lot of these business coaches and these dietitian business coaches, and bless them, but their marketing is like, I'm going to help you get to six figures and you're going to get all of your money back because I'm going to help you make all this money. That's not my thing. Right. So what is the ROI of supervision that doesn't necessarily guarantee you these big launches or this high amount of income?
So, for one thing, some of these coaches are misleading. I will say that because it certainly took me quite a while to get clients and to get consistent clients and to make a decent amount, you know, regularly. So it doesn't happen overnight. Nope. Yes, exactly. It doesn't happen overnight, maybe for someone, but not, that's not common. So keeping that in mind when you're looking at coaches and for you, just, I think having confidence and feeling comfortable with intuitive eating and coaching and feeling like I was in a good place to coach people was huge. So it was like the mindset piece. I guess you couldn't measure it with like money necessarily, but having that peace of mind was worth it for me, and knowing that I was doing this right and working with someone who really knew what she was doing and talking about was big for me.
Thank you. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. And can we just stop and say, like, you came into this a year ago feeling like you knew nothing about intuitive eating. And just this past week, you hosted a webinar for dietitians about intuitive eating.
Yep.
Can we just like pause and talk about that growth for a second? That's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. And I loved it. And it's, mm-hmm. yeah, super fun. And yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, it's so cool.
Yeah, you have the confidence, you've grown, you still check in with me on like, wait a second, what do I do with this specific situation? Because there's a lot to learn with mm-hmm. the nuance of intuitive eating. And you only really learn when you're up against it. Like you have a client that's struggling with something specific and you're like, oh, wait, I haven't thought about this before.
Mm-hmm.
So you still have those things, but that's normal. We're all going to have those at some point, but mm-hmm. you've grown so much and it's been such a cool process to watch. So I just want to always pause and acknowledge that too.
Thank you. Yeah. It's, I was reading actually a message that I sent to a dietitian like last spring when I was first even thinking about a business mm-hmm. and like telling her what I was thinking for what to focus on and like asking her all these questions. And I was like, oh my gosh, like I've grown a lot in mm-hmm. 9 or 10 months,
yep.
Which is, yeah, really fun to see. And yeah, intuitive eating, I like complete 180 with that. And it's great.
Yeah. So yeah. Mm-hmm. You're doing fantastic. And so in line with that, are there any words of wisdom that you want to pass on to other dietitians? Any little messages that you wish you had known 9 or 10 months ago or 2 years ago?
Yeah. So one thing that I wish I would have done was to not wait so long to start taking clients. I gave myself like the whole summer to mm-hmm. really dive in because I thought I'd be more ready. And truth be told, you're never going to be 100% ready to take your first client or clients. So I think I wish I would have like jumped in and started advertising my services sooner and started taking clients sooner because I would have had you to help me and my other coaches, you know, mm-hmm. I would have figured it out. Also, you know, trying not to doubt yourself too much. Like, I think we're such perfectionists that it's really easy if we don't feel like we know enough or we aren't completely ready to not like jump into intuitive eating or whatever other scary endeavor it might be. Mm-hmm. And so just knowing that you're likely farther along than you think and you know more than you think is really important. And then, you know, just being willing to take risks and live outside of your comfort zone a little bit, because it's true that like life starts when you jump outside of your comfort zone.
It does. So. And I also want to emphasize that I don't think I've had a single dietitian on this podcast who has not said, stop being a perfectionist. Like, you know more than you think you do. Put yourself out there, stop the self-doubt. Like mm-hmm. all of these messages of it's okay, you can put yourself out there imperfectly. You all say that. And so hopefully, to anyone listening, that emphasizes one, that you're not the only one that's thinking this and struggling with this.
Mm-hmm.
And two, that it's really important.
Yes. And you've like opened that up because I know you've mentioned in your podcast before, but like the perfectionism in our field is not questioned and it's not talked about. It's expected. And, you know, the internship process, you know, really makes that come to light, mm-hmm. the competition for finding a job, you know, all this stuff. And so you like questioning it and challenging it, like, I think makes us aware, like, oh, this isn't the way it has to be, or this isn't, you know, right. And finding ways to like deal with that perfectionism and, you know, maybe even let some of it go is huge, because when you don't have anyone questioning the status quo, you're likely not going to, you know, so having you doing that for us, I think makes us aware and makes us change our ways or question it.
Always happy to help you question it. That's my big thing. So thank you so much, Courtney, for coming on today. And I'd love you to let everyone know where they can find you, where they can see all of the incredible work that you've been doing.
Yeah. So I'm on Instagram at intuitivelynourishedrd. I also have a website, intuitivelynourished.com. It's a blog and just some information about my services and intuitive eating. And I also have a Facebook group, but it's a different name. It's a long name. So I'll get that to you and you can put it in
I'll put it in my show notes and on my website. Yeah. No worries. So you can connect with her there too. Awesome. Oh, thank you again, Courtney. It's been amazing talking to you, and it's been a pleasure working with you too.
Yes. Thank you for having me. And yeah, I love working with you, and I've grown so much. So thank you.
Of course.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Empowering Dietitians podcast. If you enjoy these episodes, it would mean the world to me if you could share it with your dietitian friends. And if you listen on Apple Music, leave a rating and review. This helps the podcast reach more dietitians so that we can really create a collective of dietitians who feel confident and connected both to their work and each other. You are not alone. And as always, if you're looking for that extra level of support, check out my Empowering Dietitians Supervision Services at www.empoweringdietitians.com/supervision.